Hello and welcome to Gaming Times, that weekly video game podcast about that gaming life. I am your host today, Patrick, joined by one of my favorite interim co-hosts, the other Isaac. How you doing, brother?
I am doing fantastic, Patrick. Always a pleasure to be here. Sad Isaac couldn't be here, but you know what? His loss is my gain.
Hey, you know what? I'm sure right now he's having the time of his life. Rumor has it right at this very moment, he's got a very spicy beverage in his hand, chugging it back. That's just a rumor. You know, can't confirm or deny that, but I hope he's having a great time where he is. So another weekend gaming. Also today, I get to watch my team on national TV before I jump into that. It's always a great day when I can watch the 49ers. I was sad to see that the Colorado Buffaloes couldn't pull it out yesterday. I'm a big Deion Sanders fan. But miss field goal, and then the other team goes down the field, gets a field goal. It was rough. So, yeah, but I don't expect this year to be all that for them anyway, but they had a chance, as Deion said in his post-game presser. But anyway, we're definitely going to cover some news and some hot topics. But as we always start with, Isaac, what have you been playing?
So this week I've been a bit busy. I haven't had much time for gaming, but that said, I still got some gaming in. Similar to last week, I played Death's Door, and I'm now up to the final boss, which means it's time to put the game down because I don't want it to be over.
I
switched over to 80s Overdrive, which is a little indie game on Switch, little racing game,
Retro
super
Racer.
Arcade-y, super fun, yeah.
That's what's up. How you like it so far?
Oh, I absolutely love it.
Okay.
It's harder than I expected, but maybe because because I didn't grow up playing that kind of racing game. My earliest memories of racing games are like Mario Kart on the Game Boy Advance and Need for Speed on the OG Xbox.
You're making me feel really weird because you said Mario Kart on the Game Boy Advance, and here I was the whole time my brain going, yeah, Mario Kart on the Super Nintendo. Like that's the whole time.
Mario Kart Super Circuit. That was my very first game ever on my very first console.
Oh, wow. I cannot remember the name of the first game I played. I've tried to, like, look it up to find it because I can remember playing it. I remember what it looks like, but I can't find it. But it was on ColecoVision, if memory serves. So,
oh, wow.
Quite a bit ago. But I definitely had many a great experience on Mario Kart. I remember when it dropped for Super Nintendo, as a matter of fact. And, of course, all the ones since then. So that's what's up. This week, I finally finished Persona 5 Royal.
Congratulations.
Yeah, it definitely, what I've learned about games like that, and it has some elements, and I'm not a completionist, like I'm not that dude, but I like to do a lot of things in games. Mm-hmm. Like I like to like max out a lot of stuff, do a bunch of, like if something has a weakness that I can alleviate it, for example, in Persona 5 Royal, like your personas, some of them have weaknesses, but you can get cards and then, you know, nullify those weaknesses. So, like, I'm trying to do all that for my compendium. I got my compendium to about 85%, I think. So, like, it was pretty complete.
Wow, that's impressive.
Yeah. And I nullified a lot of the weaknesses at Persona's near the top.
On the topic of weaknesses in Persona, they have my favorite weakness system in their combat, where when you hit someone's weakness, you got to essentially take another turn. And oh boy, does that just play so well.
What I like that they do also is that there's something that nothing can be, there's a type of magic that nothing can be invulnerable to, which I like that. I actually am a big fan of that in games. So you don't have to figure out with something like, you know, it's like, okay, it has the weakness and this is halved and I got to, you know, you got to work that all the way down. Well, there's one category of magic where it's like, no, this just hits. Same for you too. It just hits you, right? So I was like, yeah, I like that. But just doing all that, also getting everybody's best weapon and best armor that I could. I did that as well. Like it was crazy, man. That's why it took me about 180 hours. Like I was doing a bunch of stuff. I did finish the game with right around 9.5 million yen, I think it was. So I told you I was going to be if I ever play
money again, bags gonna, over here.
Yeah, I'll be the richest kid in all of Shibuya. Like I was like doing good over there, bro. So I was like, okay, so did that. I will say the final boss stuff, the first piece of that, man, that was actually like, even for me, I was like, yo, I didn't die or nothing, but you know, it was kind of like they have some elements in that fight that make it real interesting, bro. Thankfully, I had a lot of evolved personas and I had the right party. And I walked, I actually walked in at random with the right party. So I was like, because one of Haru's abilities, if you get her persona all the way up, it's mm-hmm. called Life Wall, and it stops a magic or a physical attack. And I can't tell you, game changer, bro.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. I was like, okay, I can survive. Like, it was brutal, man. But heck of a lot of fun. The ending was kind of interesting. I wanted to do that. I heard very early on, if you do two romantic interests, you get like a you can have like a unique sequence. And I experienced that. It was kind of funny. Like, I enjoyed it. So did that. And yeah, like I may play through it again. I really don't think it would take me nearly the time now. Like, because I've done so much in my first playthrough. From what I understand, you don't keep your items outside of your key items, I think.
Okay.
But if I kept my items, it would be game over, bro. Like, it wouldn't even be the game. I would literally just trounce it.
On play hours, though, I think it's a bit of a mislabel with the minimum hours or the hours it takes to beat something. Because unless mm-hmm. you're going step by step on a walkthrough and not playing the game for yourself, it's going to take longer, generally speaking, than that average play time you see online, simply because there's so much to do and enjoy, especially in a game like Persona, where you can get wrapped up doing something on the side and not even progress the main story.
Yeah, no, that's the thing is, so minimum playthroughs is if you do just the game. Like, you're like, mm-hmm. I'm just going to mainline the main story, right? I'm just what we call mainlining it. I'm going to play the main story. I don't care about nothing else, whatever. But for me in JRPGs, like, I got this thing about becoming overpowered. Now, right. They have a system that makes it hard for me because there's personas and persona merging and, you know, yada, 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 right? So that takes a little more time for me. But, you know, games like Persona, there's another reason I would never try to ridiculously max out Ni No Kuni, because they have a Pokemon-esque system. And I'm not collecting all that, bro, because, like, it's randomized stuff. You got to get this, do that. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not doing all that. That took me some extra time, though, because a lot of times I was trying to collect certain things. Then you got to power up those things. And so, like, that system adds so much time to something if you're trying to, like, max out your build, so to speak, and all that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I just, I was like, yo. But same thing with Persona. Like, I probably could have done more stuff, but I was like, okay, man. Like, I'm kitted out. I'm ready. Let's go ahead and knock it out. And it was, like I said, and the boss fights in Persona 5 are really good. My favorite one is still the rival boss fight. But we'll call it the first part of the last boss stuff. I really enjoyed that, too. Like, that was, like, really, really good. Really good. So, got to give them a lot of credit there. Like, that, and again, that took up so much of my time because, again, man, you're talking, I don't know, what did I say last time? I was like at 170, so like 10 more hours to finish it. So I don't think I'll be firing that up anytime soon to do another playthrough. By the way, I did get every achievement, by the way. So, like, I completely maxed out the achievement tree. Yeah. So
get that gamer score. Are you going to go back and play 3 and 4 now?
Not right now. I have them, and I have the ability to, but I'm guaranteeing you that I'm not going to play. My next game will not be Persona 4. No way. It'll either be like Final Fantasy 6, if it's a JRPG, that is. Because I'm pretty sure I'm going to fire up Mario Wonder. It was, in fact, it was on my agenda for this morning, but I woke up late. But it'll probably be Final Fantasy 6 or Trails of Cold Steel 3 or something like that.
Okay, nice.
Yeah, I don't think it'll be Persona for a little bit. And also, because Isaac, the normal co-host Isaac, was telling me that I think a lot of stuff happened in Mementos in 4 Golden and in 3. As opposed to the way things kind of work with the palaces in 5. So,
interesting.
I have to see about that. But, of course, as always, I do have them in multiple ways. So it's not like I can't play them. I just don't think that'll be the next thing. I need a little break from Persona. And it's 180 hours of greatness for a second.
Completely understandable.
And to be told, I love the Trails series. And you know how I feel about Final Fantasy VI and Chrono Trigger and all. You already know.
Yeah.
Also, I have Star Ocean Second Story R. as well. So there's a lot of great JRPGs sitting here for me to be played, but I'm probably gonna take unless it's Final Fantasy VI, I'll probably at least take a week off from JRPGs and just get my Mario on, and maybe some games that are a little more chill. Like I recently, this game called Filament is on sale, and it comes highly reviewed on Switch. It's like a puzzler. Matter of fact, I think it might be something up your alley, and I think it's on sale right now.
Looking it up right now.
Yes, it's called Filament. I'll drop you the name so you can look it up. But looks like a really fun game. So, you know, like I said, just trying to find... After coming off a normal JRPG like this, unless I totally absolutely loved it, and Persona 5 Royal is not a bad game. I don't want to send the wrong message. But I did so much in it where I just was like, yeah, I'll take a little break.
Yeah, you know? Burnout is real, even with things you like.
Yeah, yeah. So I got on Apex again, only played two games, I think, or something like that, because, like, the lobbies, bro, I just quit. Okay, I'm done. And then, you know, a game or two of Rocket League, but nothing really momentous in that realm. But it was a hell of a game. So glad Coach Isaac recommended it, and so glad I have it in so many ways to play. And I'm glad I bought the physical, man, because I ran out on Game Pass, but thankfully I had the game. I just had to open it. Because it was ridiculous, man. I was like, yo, this is crazy. I didn't expect to be in the game that long. So about that, definitely crazy. But yeah. So any pickups for you over the last week?
Not this week, no.
Okay. No, I actually, something released here that I can't believe came to America. I've been waiting for this game. In fact, I was talking to some mutual friends of ours recently about one of the Switch games that I wanted for my collection and to have, and it never dropped in America. And it finally, out of nowhere, this American version released, bro, and I fainted, actually. I was like, what? I ordered it as soon as I saw it on the screen. But it's a game, it's called 60-in-1 Games Collection. Because
that's a lot of games. Talk about bang for your buck.
Yeah, right. Previously, in America, we got 30-in-1 Games Collection. But in Europe, they got the 60-in-1. And so, like, I was, of course, you know me, I'm a worldwide game shopper. You know, I love the global marketplace for games. So I was, originally I had tried to run them down. The price point was just a touch out of what I wanted to spend, you could say, for that particular game. But about a week ago, it released. Matter of fact, I think mine came yesterday. And it was only like $40. And that game used to be a three-figure game.
Oh.
Yeah. Because that was the only way to get the 60-in-1. You had to get the 30-in-1 here.
Well, even at $120, Patrick, that's still only $2 a game.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Yeah, but I was like, yo, I'm just glad to finally have that in the collection. I got a few other things. I can't remember them all, but of course I'll post them on Twitter as soon as I get another minute or in my next, you know, pickups update. But just really glad to have that, man. That was really cool. Okay, so we'll go ahead and transition into the news. And I know you're excited about our first news story, or at least somebody is. We're finally going to get a GTA 6 trailer, I believe, in December at the Game Awards, or November at the Game Awards. Excuse me. Either November or December. No, December. I'm sorry. My bad. Don't hate me, Internet. Pages flipped on me. But, yeah, we're going to get a GTA 6 trailer. Are you happy that we're finally getting GTA 6? Before you even go, I will say this. I just hope that means we get no more stage crashes for people at Game Awards shows or game shows talking about, I really want GTA 6. That's my highlight. But how about you?
I totally forgot the stage crashing from last year.
Oh, man, it was so annoying, bro. Jeff was so mad, too. I was like, come on, man. Like, can we knock it off, please? But anyway, how about you? Are you excited for this?
I am excited. I'm not the biggest GTA fan, so it's definitely, you know, it's targeted towards someone else. But I'm happy to see any new games come out. And we know that this has been in the works for years now. So it will hopefully be good. I can't think of a time in recent memory where Rockstar's failed to deliver on a new title, not a remake. I will say it's got some huge shoes to fill. I mean, GTA 5 has been out since, what, 2013? So it's got a decade-long legacy of content and the online play, which honestly kind of revolutionized online play in the fact that no other console game has really hit something of that scale.
No game that I can think of that started out as a single-player game.
Right.
That's what I'll say. Because Rocket League is close to that right now. It's close. It's not there yet, fair enough, but it's close. That's the only one I can think of, though.
Oh, I meant as in like a big interactive world like that.
Oh, no. I just meant 10-year running. So for me, I was talking about 10-year running.
Oh, no. I'm sorry. Yeah, there's plenty of games that have done that. I just meant in the scale of the world. And as you said, certainly as a side aspect of a single-player game, nothing else is come even close to what they've done with that.
I did enjoy on Twitter everybody talk about when GTA came out and then me now or whatever. That was some really funny stuff, man. Like that was
really funny.
It was really cool. The thing, what I'm really curious to see this year, I remember when GTA 5 came out because my workplace was empty. And that's not an exaggeration. Like, so many people either called in sick or took time off for GTA 5.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to see if that happens again. Because that's the only game in recent memory that I've seen shut a workplace down.
Right. Well, it's got the mass appeal of things like Call of Duty, but the releases are so infrequent that it's a much bigger deal to see a new Grand Theft Auto.
Right, right. And I mean, I expect a lot of people to be on Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3 right now. I'm not dropping 70, but I'm sure a lot of people are on that. But yeah, just seeing my workplace where everybody was like, yeah, all of a sudden the whole world is sick on a Friday. Or whatever day it launched, right? Because GTA is out, was just like priceless for me to see. Like, I was like, yo, this game is that big. Like, I knew it was big. Like, don't get me wrong. But, like, that's big, bro. I mean, a workplace. Like, I was like, yo, everybody's like out today? He's like, yeah, man, everybody's out today. So I was like, well, it is GTA 5 day, that when it came out. So, like, if GTA 6 does that, I'm going to laugh. I don't know if it's going to do it at my new place, but I'm definitely going to be watching. I'll be watching
brand new corporate holiday, Grand Theft Auto release day.
It felt like that. Like, it felt like a not quite a Christmas, but maybe like a Veterans Day or something. Like, you know, like it was just like, yo, right. It was just like super empty, bro. And I was like, where's everybody? And I was like, wait, GTA came out today. And then I remember one of my supervisors like joking, like, well, GTA 6 or GTA 5 did come out today. And I was like, oh, that's right. And he was like, yeah, everybody's sick. Oh my God, wow. So, yeah, so it was priceless. I just thought that was quite hilarious. And I'll be definitely following it to see more. You know, I'm excited to see kind of what else we learned about the game and all that. And, you know, I'm sad that some stuff may have leaked based on some security breaches before. I hope that they're good and they're still able to release the game the way they want it and everything. So it'd be nice to see. So let's transition to the next story. Crazy things here lately. Apparently, Xbox and PlayStation have removed the Twitter integration. So I found that to be really, really interesting. And I guess it stems from what I understand, the exorbitant price increase of the API access.
Everything I've seen points to that too, which I mean makes sense because we've seen Twitter kind of go into a microtransaction zone over the last few months as it undergoes transformation by its new owner who's trying to recoup some of those funds. And this is just another way he's nickel and diming people for using a platform that was free.
Mm-hmm.
And clearly it's, again, having drawbacks. I mean, we've already seen a ton of advertisers step away from Twitter. And now we're going to see companies dropping their support of Twitter, their integration with Twitter. It's a bummer because it was so easy to just upload something straight from your console to Twitter. I haven't done it in quite a while, but it's very convenient to just hit a button, share, post a little clip, and, you know, then your friends can see what you wanted to show them.
Right, right. I found it really interesting because I heard like the cheapest license was something like $50K. I'm rounding up from, I think it was like 42 and change, but we'll just call it $50K. And I was like, what is going on? Like, and what's weird for me about
per month price too.
Yeah, right. Thank you for that. I forgot that piece. I was it's not annual. And I was just like, what are we doing? I in terms of Twitter or X, for whatever, but like I just can't, I just don't understand what their moves entirely. Like, for example, just the name. But doesn't it sound weird to say I'm on X? I don't know where I'm from.
It doesn't sound like a social media platform that is for all ages.
Well, I don't want somebody to get the wrong ideas either if I say I'm on X, right? Like, right. I don't know. Maybe it's where I've been in life. I don't know.
You said it's confusing, but I think it's perfectly clear. Someone is drowning and trying to get as much money back as possible.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, changing your branding. I always find that weird when companies change branding. That's like super established. Like, it'd be like Coca-Cola changing his name.
Right.
Like, we're not Coca-Cola.
Being like, this is New Coke.
I'm saying, because there's no Twitter in the name. It's like literally gone. So like, if you took Coca-Cola and then you called it Jimmy Drink or something, you'd be like, what are you doing? You've got years invested in this branding and everybody recognizes it. Why would you change that? Like, that's one thing. But now a lot of your user base, because that's how ad revenue works, right? You got to have people interact with the platform to have ads, want to advertise there. So when you have people, you know, sharing from their consoles or whatever, I would think that's driving up interaction, which therefore drives advertisers to want to, you know, advertise there. So charging $50,000 a month, I think you overestimated the value of the service, in a sense.
Wouldn't be the first time he overestimated the value of Twitter.
Yeah, I mean, that's no argument there. So, like, that's one of those things where I'm just like, yo, what are you doing? But as a gamer, I'm thankful I still have my phone, because normally I download clips to my phone and then upload them to Twitter. I don't normally do anything from the console like that. But, you know, hopefully for those that do, they'll get their head out of their rear and maybe go ahead and change what they're doing. But you can't keep one thing I want to stress about this story, and I try to alert businesses to this all the time. You can't take away a feature and then charge me for it and then think I'm going to be cool with it. Like, that just doesn't work. I don't know why. At least not for me. I'm not going to say somebody won't tolerate it, but it's normally a blowback. I think we briefly touched on it, not as a topic last week, but just a sidebar. But Mortal Kombat, I believe, charged for a fatality recently. I believe they just like gave away two for free or something. I'd have to pull that up on my computer, but I think they were like, oh, we're sorry. Because like, it was so crazy to do that. So I just think that in terms of Twitter, I'm like, yo, man, do you know where your bread's buttered? Like, I guess. Because it's weird what you're doing. But just my two cents take, you know, we'll see how things land, as you know. But I didn't get this at all. I really didn't. I won't lie about it. Like, I was like, I don't understand what you guys are doing. But I hope that you figure out whatever that is. Now let's talk about something a little more fun. Because talk about Twitter. Oh, boy. Not only where we want to be. But recently, the Golden Joystick Award winners happened. And I was shocked to see some of the winners. I won't lie to you. And of course, everybody cares about Game of the Year, right? Like, the Universal Game of the Year is kind of what normally people like care about.
Mm-hmm.
And so Ultimate Game of the Year, my bad, at the Golden Joysticks. And that was Baldur's Gate 3. And I was kind of shocked. I know it's at the Game Awards, and we'll get to our thoughts on what could be in that conversation for the Game Awards. But the reason I was shocked, and I'm gonna be real, is because it didn't say Zelda.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, what? And again, I'm not saying that Zelda should win, but I have an expectation when I see the name Zelda because of its fan base, along with the gameplay. Like, I'm like, yo, it's always Zelda, like, whatever. But it said Baldur's Gate 3, so I just was stunned by that. Did you see anything of the winners that kind of shocked you in any way?
Honestly, other than what you've already said, the fact that Baldur's Gate won, I wasn't really surprised by anything else. I will say, seeing Zelda lose, not that I have anything against Zelda other than just wanting to see the king dethroned, seeing Zelda lose felt very good. And you know what? Congratulations to everyone who worked on Baldur's Gate 3. It's a well-deserved victory. I do have a question for you, though, Patrick. This game has been in early access for a couple years now. How do you feel about a game winning a game of the year even though it's been in early access years prior. You know, you've been able to go in and play it.
Well, this wouldn't have been once there's a precedent for something, then I can't really hate on it as much.
Okay.
And I don't mind it if the game's feature set or let's just call it kinks, for lack of a better phrase. If the game's kinks aren't worked out, then I'm okay with that. And the game, man, I had the game in my mind. It's going to come back to me in a second. But the game that I'll just tell you. The game that rings true for me that set the precedent, pardon me, was Hades.
Oh, okay.
Because Hades was an early access game, if memory serves. You can cross reference me on that. But if I remember correctly, Hades was also the same case. And then once they got it all ironed out, then Hades got the actual official release, which we know Hades did win Game of the Year in some circles. So that precedent's already there. I will say you do have a bit of a leg up to work out your kinks with the community when the community is your beta testers, in essence.
Right. It's almost like paid beta testing, in a sense.
It's better than paid beta testing because you can't pay that many people. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
Paid, it's the ultimate testing. It's like taking a test for school where you get no grade. It's like, here, we're going to give you the test. So take the test.
You know what it is?
You'll come back to the test next week.
It's the honest version of what we see so often where a game company releases a game in an unfinished state and it's like, don't worry, we're going to work on it.
Yeah.
But they're saying it from the get-go. They're like, hey, we're working on this. Check it out. Tell us what you think. It's really refreshing to see. I wish more companies would do it.
Right. I mean, because in both of the cases that we've just listed, the game has turned out literally incredible. Mm-hmm. Hades was amazing. Baldur's Gate 3 is amazing from what I've heard. So I'm just saying it ain't exactly not working out. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I have no beef with it, especially when a company is, you know, straightforward with it. I just think it is funny because you're releasing something and you're like, yo, that's what we did wrong. And then we'll fix everything. Then we'll say we released it, which, no beef here. As long as I get the good stuff in the end, I have more beef with it if you make me pay for certain things like that, et cetera. But as long as, you know, you're putting it out there, no argument. But yeah, I wish the only other thing that kind of caught my attention was best gaming hardware is PSVR 2. While I don't have a beef with PSVR 2, I was just trying to think, was there any other gaming hardware that could have even qualified? I was like, I don't know if anything can even qualify for this. So, yeah, best indie game, though. See ya, Stars, baby. Physical coming soon. Can't wait. That's actually another game I'm debating on playing because it's not only is it on Game Pass, but I bought it day one. And I already pre-ordered the physical from PlayAsia. And I am 8-bits doing physicals in early next year because I can't wait to get vinyls too. But yeah. So yeah, definitely a heck of a showing. And like you said, no beef with Zelda at all. It's just nice to see the king dethroned. Well stated, brother.
One thing I want to point out about all of them. So there's 20 Game of the Year nominees, and I went through and counted. 12 of them are sequels. 4 are remakes. And then there are 4 original IPs.
What were the 4 original IPs?
You have Sea of Stars, Hi-Fi Rush, Starfield, and Cocoon.
Okay. Starfield and Hi-Fi Rush, I want a physical of so bad. I wish Microsoft would just get off that train, just give me a physical. But yeah, that's a heck of a... They had 20 games. That's a heck of a layout.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of that, what do you think the Game Awards nominees are going to be? Do you have any predictions? Because we find out, I believe, tomorrow on the Game Awards.
Tomorrow night.
Yeah, on the Game Awards Game of the Year nominees. What do you predict?
They traditionally have far less, if I'm remembering correctly.
I believe it's 6, I believe. Mm-hmm.
So if I were to pick 6, it's going to be Baldur's Gate 3, Zelda, Spider-Man 2, I think we'll see Starfield in there.
You think so? Okay.
I do. Not because I feel one way or another about it deserving it. I just think it's the only big release from Xbox here. So I think it's going to have to make a showing. Diablo 4. And I would like to see Metroid Prime Remastered because, you know, that's my personal favorite from the list. But just being realistic, it's probably like Final Fantasy 16.
Oh, God.
I'm just going off of the big.
No.
Because that's what fills it up every time, unless we get thrown for a loop with something like
it. I'm not saying you're wrong. That was just my personal disdain for it. 16. I'm definitely not saying you are incorrect. So looking at your list, I would probably change a few things. So I would throw Final Fantasy 16 out the window and probably put Super Mario Brothers Wonder there.
Oh, how did I forget about Wonder?
Yeah, it's okay.
You're right. Yes,
it's a lot of games. I would definitely chuck that one out. So Final Fantasy 16, I'm like, yo, you've been voted off the island. So Super Mario Brothers Wonder is probably what I would put there. But okay, and then Starfield, Diablo 4 also. Like, I think I would chuck that one, and probably what would I replace it with? Contrary to popular belief, I would either say Diablo 4 becomes Lies of P or Alan Wake 2.
You know, I've heard great things about Alan Wake 2. I could easily see that making the list.
Either one of those games, I would say probably trounce Diablo 4. Sony's going to get a game in. They've only really had like one game this year, right? No, that's no shade. I'm just saying the only one I can think of is Spider-Man 2. Baldur's Gate 3 is clearly going to be in there. We know Zelda's clearly going to be in there.
I just can't imagine a world where the only Activision Blizzard, or the only big Activision Blizzard release, Diablo, doesn't make the nomination.
It just had such a... Man, I'm thinking about so many of the post-launch content issues, and like, I just... It's online only. I don't know. I know Diablo's got its own following, too. It's not quite a Zelda following, but it's a big following. Like, no argument there.
You know, just like any live service game, like Destiny or anyone else, the community is very up and Open. Down and... You know, happy and then mad and then happy.
I think that definitely plays
a part. But my guess is they're going to look at sales and, impact as the number one category for what qualifies as a nomination.
Right. I mean, it definitely could be there. Those are kind of the dilemmas I see. And that would be, so it would either be Diablo 4 gets bounced. I told 516 is just gone. That's Mario Wonder, in my word. That doesn't exist. But in the games remaining, I could see Diablo and Starfield flipping for either the games Lies of P or Alan Wake 2 or Sea of Stars. So those are the three where I could, and it's always a great story to have an indie game there. Mm-hmm. One indie game. We have had one win it, but normally it's a feel-good moment for an indie game to be there. So I could see Diablo 4 and Starfield being flipped for any of those three games.
That's fair.
One, the other, or both for any of the three that I just listed. So that's kind of where I'm at. Like I said, I think it'd be a cold day in hell if Spider-Man 2 wasn't on the list. Like, I just, that's my personal take.
There's absolutely no way. There's no way.
As a Sony game, I'm just like, I find it hard to imagine they don't get their one of their games in. Like, I do. Truth be told, I just found that a struggle. So.
It may be a bit early, but I do have one more prediction I'm going to throw out there.
Okay.
And that's after seeing Baldur's Gate 3 win the Golden Joystick. I'm going to say it's going to take the whole party.
No way. No way it'd be Zelda at the Oscars. No way. No way. You can beat him at the Golden Globes. You can beat him at the, what's the other one? I forget the other, the whatever film festival one. You can beat him at it. I say no way it'd be Zelda. And as a matter of fact, I would love to see betting odds on if there's a betting odds on Game of the Year once the games are announced, which I will now look at. I would love to see the betting odds of Zelda versus Baldur's Gate 3. But I'd like your bold prediction, though.
We'll have to wait and see, but I really think that just the overwhelming positive reception of Baldur's Gate 3 might take the cake.
Okay. That's insane. The other thing I'm looking forward to, actually, there's a battle this year. Obviously, everybody always looks forward to Game of the Year. Mm-hmm. There's a battle this year that there's a couple of them that I really want to see at the Game Awards. One is Best Indie Game, for sure. But the actual battle I really want to see is Best Score or Best Soundtrack, whatever. That's the battle I really want to see. Because you've got, from what I hear, I haven't got to get on Lies of P yet. It's on Game Pass. I'll try to get on it soon. But I hear Lies of P is like insane, right? Sea of Stars to me is that soundtrack, bro. No BS. Like, I've sat down and listened to a lot of that music. Mm-hmm. Man, it's good, bro. It is good. Like, that is amazing of a soundtrack. So, that's the other battle I really want to see. Best score, or best soundtrack, or whatever. Like, I think that's going to be a hot battle this year.
Nice. Well, I will keep my eye out. I'm sure we'll be talking tomorrow when those nominations are going live.
You already know, because, like, but my vote for best soundtrack is Sea of Stars, clearly. So it's just interesting to see that. And you know, it would be great to see your prediction right. Let me just say right quick, it would be great to know in the end that your prediction was right, because I would love to just watch Twitter go crazy if Zelda doesn't win. Like, I want to be the guy watching it. You know what I mean? Where it's like, and the game of the year winner is Baldur's Gate 3, and then just look at Twitter. Because I'm sure they'll be like, Zelda snubbed, and I can't wait. I'm going to just be there for the comments, bro. I really do hope you're right. And I still say that Zelda has an award on the shelf that didn't earn, because that should be Horizon Zero Dawn's award. But that's me. Just got to bring it up every time. Horizon Zero Dawn should have won that. But anyway, that's enough of those for now. But at least we'll definitely be watching. For sure. And our last story today, it caught me off guard because I happened to be searching the gaming news as I always do. And this one came up and it threw me for a loop because I was shocked to see this. But apparently, Microsoft, and this comes from GameIndustry.biz or GamesIndustry.biz, excuse me. Microsoft, EA, Activision, Ubisoft, and Epic face a game addiction lawsuit. Well, Arkansas family is suing gaming giants for their child's excessive playtime and spending. And I was like, wow, man. Like, I'm shocked because somebody's actually doing it. We've always talked about a lot of these things, but somebody's doing it. And it says that a complaint in the article from GamesIndustry.biz, it says a complaint filed on October 30th in the Eastern District of Arkansas, spotted by Insider Gaming, names Microsoft, EA, Activision, Ubisoft, and Epic Games, as well as some of their studios as defendants. The suit lists 14 counts of action, including strict liability and negligence for failure to warn users of games' addictive qualities, deceit and fraudulent misrepresentation, fraudulent inducements, and violation of the Deceptive Trade Practice Act. And they list the full defendants in the article as well. And then it says the lawsuit states that a rapid spread of video game addiction is the result of those companies' concerted effort to get, concerted effort to get consumers addicted, end quote, to their games in order to generate high profits. The plaintiff, an Arkansas mother, filed the suit on behalf of her child, a minor identified only as GD, and her husband, the minor's father. According to the filing, GD is 13 years old and plays video games 12 to 14 hours per day, despite parental efforts to limit his time. He primarily plays Fortnite, Rainbow Six Siege, Battlefield, and Call of Duty, and is said to have spent approximately $350 per month on gaming. In total, it is claimed that GD has spent around $3,000 on in-game transactions and downloadable content, not including the cost of consoles, game, and then Xbox Game Pass Ultimate subscription. Quote, defendants manufactured, published, marketed, and sold video games, including those played by GD, that defendants have specifically developed and designed to cause the addiction experienced by GD and other users, end quote. They're also seeking damages, among other things. Wow. I got to get your thoughts on this, because this, to see a lawsuit about this when we've all kind of called this out in the industry, it's kind of like crazy for me to see. Like, I'm just shocked it took this long for us to get here. But we all know, here's the thing, me and you were adults. So let's be clear, I'm talking about adults when I say this. We all know that free-to-play games are designed to generate revenue like that. That's what they do. That's why skins are the new money, and then I'm sure there are other things. So, like, you know, we've all known it. But to bring into the fact, and this is what I love about this, that the game was specifically designed to do some of these things, which we've talked about before. In fact, Jim Sterling famously had a video where the guy is talking about you want to make the standard in your game that you have to buy skins, right? Mm-hmm. And then he like kind of quips that, like, is this, I meant to see this video in advance, but like, is this morally right? Well, that's for somebody else to decide. And I was like, what?
Right.
Like, what the heck? So I'm just like, I think this is long overdue. Now, all these companies.
Absolutely.
Yeah. all these companies wear lawyers like suits, so I'm not sure what'll happen in the end. But I just think finally somebody's trying to induce the court system to do something, because I know that this has been brought to the halls of our representatives. And when I understand, it's not gone far. We don't talk a lot about that unless it crosses gaming. But last time I checked, the last time somebody brought this up, EA, Moneybags, EA swooped in allegedly and got our representatives to, I guess, forget what they were looking at or something like that. Allegedly, rumor has it. You know what I'm saying? I don't really have no proof. But yeah, so I just want to get your thoughts. Go ahead, fire away.
So if I were to guess what's going to happen, we'll probably see an undetermined amount settled off screen. And then nothing else comes of it. What I hope would happen would be actual legislation on this, because, you know, we don't let children go to the casino and play slot machines. But we certainly have no problem doing that with them doing that under the guise of gaming. And it's not just these companies, you know, it extends out to physical gaming too, including companies like Wizards of the Coast and Konami with their booster packs. Something certainly needs to be done, because when we allow children to be exposed to this sort of thing, it builds bad habits, regardless of, you know, how responsible the child is, how much attention the parents pay, and how involved they are with regulating their child's content. When they play these games, they're exposed to these play patterns. They're exposed to gambling, in a sense, and it builds unhealthy trends in their mind. We know this. Like, there's literal science done on this. And these companies hire these scientists and these psychologists to make the games more addicting. Like, we know they do this. They admit to doing that. So something needs to be done, right?
Yeah.
I don't know what that looks like. I'm not a lawyer. But it's very clear that change needs to happen. And I think this is a good step towards that. I don't think we'll necessarily see any changes, but it'll be another case on the list that eventually gets put towards regulation.
So my first wonder is, from the legal aspect, if they're going to say that the child plays that much because you don't have parental control set up. So that would be my first, like, question there. Is, if you set up parental controls, can your child play 12 to 14 hours a day? That's my first question.
Mm-hmm.
Because then they'd have to prove that the child is circumventing that, right? This is, like, all estimated, by the way. I'm no lawyer, like you said. Let me be clear. This is, like, my estimation of what the defense would be. Okay? So that's the first thing. I don't know. I will say I don't know if parental controls has the ability to stop the money that a child spends. Like, that, I don't know. But I know, I'm pretty sure gaming hours can be limited. So that's going to be one thing. But the question will be, once that behavior is set, how hard is it to, you know, revert from that?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, so I'm sure, like, that'll be another legal battle.
And then how accessible are the games outside of these parental controls? I know something like Apex, for instance, which I know EA is listed. I don't know if it's specifically DICE or not DICE, Respawn. But Apex is on mobile, meaning, you know, even if the parents set up parental controls on his console or his phone, he could still easily access another device. I mean, even, you know, 12, 15 years ago when I was in school, if I didn't have a phone, someone around me did, right? Someone has an iPod Touch back in those days.
Right.
But there's always a way to get to the game. 12 to 14 hours a day indicates that either he's not going to school, in which case, why, or he's playing the games at school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I mean, it's definitely, I'm looking forward to more developing here. And I'm sure that there'll be a lot of, like, legal battles and delays and all the legal trickery that, you know, your boy is not versed in. But I'm sure there's going to be some. But truth be told, I agree with your take. If the number is low enough that the company's willing to just be like, yo, we just go away. So where they admit no fault and they can pay to make the problem go away. And it's say, I would speculate that the number's a six-figure number. They just make it go away with it admitting no guilt and paying the person, and then the story goes away again. And, you know, they're just like, whatever. You know what I mean?
Right.
Six-figure number or lower. So, you know, no seven-figure number. No company's going to get – that's just not going to happen. But Microsoft has six figures to give you. I don't know. But then again, I don't know if they want to set that precedent to where it's like – because there's a lot of defendants there to where it's like, okay, somebody else can sue us.
Right.
So that would be my one question there. But if it's just one family where it's like, yo, about that, then they some of these companies might. I mean, Epic, Blizzard, Microsoft is, I guess, has Blizzard now. EA, these companies have a lot of money. And sometimes it's just not worth the legal headache. But we'll see. We'll see what they want to do. Like, it's just crazy to me that somebody has just now done a lawsuit. But I guess all the other avenues have been exhausted. And I guess the article also highlights that in 2019, the World Health Organization recognized gaming disorder as an official illness. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's stuff out there. And then you start saying these companies are contributing to an illness based on their monetization practices, loot box systems, etc. That's definitely something. It was crazy to me also is that, you know, some countries have outlawed loot boxes. It's not like it's news. You know what I mean? Like, right. Like it's a thing you can't do. But I guess we're still here. You know what I'm saying? We're still on that action. So, wow, man. Just wow. Like I said, just stunned me. I know we've talked, you know, especially being Isaac on this podcast ad nauseum pretty much about, you know, these type of practices, like, you know, loot boxes, monetization, microtransactions, you know, the whole nine, right? Recurrent consumer spending opportunities, as the industry calls them. But I think this is what happens when just corporate greed goes amok, like when it just runs amok. And I think we're at that level now because...
Oh, absolutely. I'd say we've been there. And I think it's something you can see in more than just these sort of lawsuits and gaming disorder, in that profits are constantly put over people. I mean, look at the year we've had in games. It's been an amazing year with amazing games, yet 6,000 plus layoffs in the industry. It's clear that there's only one thing that truly matters to these companies.
Yeah, yeah. And you say that too. It's true, man. I remember Apex became like a billion-dollar franchise with like the skins and everything. And when Epic bought Rocket League, I can only imagine like all the... Me and Isaac talked about this a lot because we've been playing Rocket League since 2015. Since mm-hmm. it dropped, right? And man, DLC cars went from $2 to like 20, bro.
I remember hearing you guys talk about that, and I had only played a little bit of Rocket League with you and a couple other people during a short couple months. And mm-hmm. in that time, you know, I bought a couple $2-3 cars because they were really cool. You know, they had the Batmobile; it was awesome.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
then hearing they were $20, it was like, well, I'll never play now. That game again.
Yeah, yes, you're like, that's what happened to me. When Epic bought it, they were greedy, so I didn't play for a while after Epic bought them. And then I played a little bit after, but I don't, like, buy the Battle Pass or cars anymore because it's just gotten too crazy.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, and I can see it because I've been around long enough. And as a gamer, I just told you what my first game system was, pretty much. So, like, I've seen the transition change from quality game products to game product, but now let's sell you all these add-ons. Or in some cases, especially if you talk about like a Madden, for example, all the new innovation goes into card packs. Because why? That's where all the revenue's coming from. They don't care. Selling you the game is just one piece now. And then the game price has gone up. So now that you're paying 70 to, I think the highest version of Madden costs like 130. Is it one or 130? Something like that. So let's just go with 130 right now, because that's I'm thinking it's like 120 or 130. So you get the maximum version. Then they want you to play Ultimate Team, so you're buying packs every 2 seconds. Then they have YouTubers or any sort of influencer, you know, opening packs and trying to show, like, excitement and all this. Like, it's just such a hustle, man.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't bought a Madden in years now.
These games have changed from games into simply monetization vehicles.
That's right. There you go. Well said, bro. And they're, the monetization... It's like unfair and ridiculous. And then now they have, and I've heard about this. I didn't even know about this because obviously I'm out of school. But there was a story where like kids were clowning other kids because all they had was default skins. And this actually happened. There was somebody we used to go play cards where we used to work. I got on a game with a person we used to play cards with, and they were like, I can't believe people don't have legendary skins. And I was like, well, I don't have any legendary skins. But they ain't got nothing to do with me when I slaughtered the lobby, though.
Right.
Like, what did it matter, bro? Like, what I look like, somebody lost. Like, I care about winning. I don't care about buying some skin and then losing every 2 seconds. Who cares?
You have to tell me who that was after the show, because I
will. Oh, curious. Yeah. Well, off recording, we'll talk about it. But I just remember that moment because I was like, I don't have any. and I've been playing the game. But it was priceless. And then to hear like kids getting like bullied or talk trash to at school because of your skin in a video game, like that's when you got to be like, yo man, do we have a problem here?
That in particular doesn't really surprise me, simply because, you know, kids have been doing that with other things for years. I mean, down to branded clothes. I remember stories from when my mother was a kid, and she tells me that, you know, she got picked on because she didn't have the branded jeans or this or that. Right.
Same here.
Just vicious, especially in like that middle school age. They're just the meanest people on the planet.
Yeah. No, I mean, like that would be more expected, but I guess that's more to my point of now gaming is a representation of how much money you have.
Mm-hmm.
So it's falling in line with those things, which is weird because when I was in school, first of all, when I was in school, you was already a nerd if you was a gamer. Like that wasn't even big when I was in school, bro. Like that was. All the things that was like nerdy when I was in school are mainstream now. Like comics, right. That was nerdy, bro. Now they're like, yo, the Marvel Cinematic Universe. You're like, huh?
And gaming, it's such a recent change, too. At least, you know, 10 years ago, a little bit longer than that now, when I was in high school, it was still weird that I played video games all the time and you know, didn't go out and do other stuff.
Right.
So it's a very bizarre change in that. Video games,
yeah, at least it's not just me, because it's so weird to me like to see that change. But for gaming, like, because again, there's been many times I've talked about in other podcasts where I've been pretty broken life due to no fault of my own, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I'm glad because it showed me a lot of things. Like, I actually appreciate those experiences now. But to see someone, like, I couldn't imagine walking through my school doors and somebody's like, yo man, that dude in Apex don't have a good skin. I'd be like, what? That really, that's where we are, that's where we at, bro.
You're one of the game, freeloaders though. The CEO talked about.
No, the developer. Yeah, the developer, right?
The developer.
The developer. That's him. That's that guy, right? He's a freeloader, bro. Like, what? Well, come on, man. So I just find that joint crazy, man. Like, as a kid who's been gaming for as long as I have, it was nerdy when I was there, et cetera. Like, to see that hit, like, school walls, man. Like, what? Hey, man, you're poor. You know why? You don't like my clothes? Nah, bro, you got a default skin.
Just walking up to your locker and someone's graffitied no skins on it.
I know, default skin. You know?
Yeah, default skin.
Like, what? All right, I guess that's a flex. You know,
no
one's gonna see my skin.
With a brownie face.
Yeah, I know. Unless I turn my game on, you won't know. But okay, I guess. Like, so it's just weird, bro. It's just weird. The clothing one, man, that hits close to home. I remember that like yesterday, man. You don't have Jordans, or you don't have. And it's funny. Like, I won't even wear Jordans. I have a couple pair. But I won't wear them because of, like, their Jordans in terms of, like, people wanting them, you know, thieves. I don't wear a lot of, like, super nice stuff. But you've been around me. So, you know, I wear, like, a hoodie normally. Right. You know what I mean? That's normally. I ain't going to be in, like, loud jewelry or anything. But looking, like, nowadays, like, I don't even like to have that type of attention my way. I'm very muted in that, a lot of that stuff. But, yeah, man, just crazy. If I was super wealthy, you would never know it by outlandish jewelry. Ever. That would never be my giveaway.
I don't know. But something appeals to me about finding the biggest clock and putting a chain on it.
You know, I'm just saying. Make sure it's, you know, gold, though, right?
Right. Oh, of course. Yeah, I didn't have even other materials.
Yeah. Because when I see people, like, wear some of the stuff they wear, I'm not hating. Everybody can do what they want to do, by the way. I ain't hating, but I'm just like, nah. In my game collection, if I didn't put it on Twitter, nobody would see it. So That's just how I roll with that. So, like, I've been around some, like, very, very, very wealthy people.
Mm-hmm.
Early on, they would always tell me, like, yo, you can know a person's wealthy if you know what you're looking at, but it won't be loud.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I remember walking up to a guy, and one of my favorite luxury brands is Mont Blanc. Like, I love Mont Blanc. And okay. He had a Mont Blanc pen, and I recognized it. I was like, oh, that's a nice pen. And he was like, oh, yeah, thank you. And he puts it back away, and like somebody was like, I don't get it. And I was like, oh, don't worry about it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But I knew what I was looking at, though. You know,
if you know, you know.
Right, exactly. So it's more like that, right? You got to know what you're kind of looking at. Or, you know, I'd love a Patek Philippe watch, but unfortunately, I'm regular. So about that. But yeah, I just, Where we've come in gaming, man. Like, some days I just, like, reminisce and, like, man, I can remember, like, saying you played Super Nintendo or PlayStation and people were like, what? You're a nerd or something. Now it's like, what? You don't have a good skin? You're trash.
It just, it makes me love these full indie releases all that much more, to be honest. And
yes,
every time I pick up a physical copy of one, it just brings me so much joy knowing that I'll be able to go back and play that full game forever and never have to worry about, you know, missing out on DLC or skins or servers going offline or anything like that.
Yeah, man, and that's, it's funny you say that. Like, that's one of the things that, for me, is the same. Like, I have bought more physical indies than probably anything else. Now, I buy a lot of physical games, but a lot of times the games that people think are like, oh yeah, you got this AAA game, whatever, it's normally on sale or something. Like, I recently posted a picture where you could see Resident Evil 4 in there for PS5, mm-hmm. but it cost me like $20-25 or something. It was on sale somewhere. Like, I don't invest in a lot of games anymore that aren't indie if they're not on sale. No, I mean, that's in the normal circumstances. Obviously, Star Ocean, you know, was like a clearly a different type, you know, a different example, but that's a remake in a very retro game, which I still have the original. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm the same way, man. It's just, I can't talk about indies enough. That's why I try to rep games, and that's why Sea of Stars is high on my playlist to play, you know, soon. And also, there was another game I picked up. Let me get that for you. Since we're talking about indies to wrap up the show, I got to get the name. I believe it's called like Eldorand or something. Let me see. There was one I was going to hit you up about because it recently, there's two of them that, if I don't remember it by the end of the show, then I'll definitely Eldorand, message
yeah.
you. Eldorand. Okay. Yeah. That looked really interesting. I thought you might find that interesting. And there's another game coming out soon that it's not out in the U.S. yet, and I think it's physically coming out in Japan soon, that I want to check out, that you probably want to keep your eye on. And that game is called Sanabi. Looks really interesting. So those two,
check it out.
Yeah, those two are something you may want to take a look at. Yeah, but Eldorand and Sanabi. I am definitely, because Eldorand actually is one of my other pickups, by the way. I just didn't bring it up, but that came in, and I was happy to get that. And then Sanabi, the Japanese one, is coming out soon, but the U.S. one, I think, is not coming out to like next year or something. But I watched some like footage of it. I really want to check that out too. But just like you, man, I'm the same way. Indies for life, man. Complete experience, yeah. No BS.
Or even something like, I guess, I don't know if it would technically be an indie, but something like Baldur's Gate 3, you know, where it's just a complete package all in one.
Yeah. And actually, I'm so sad the physical's coming out in December, because that means I probably won't get it till the middle to end of December. Mm-hmm. But man, I'm really excited for that game, bro. I am really excited for that game, because I got the physical. And I remember putting it in my Slack chat at work for video games. Mm-hmm. And people were like, I thought they wasn't getting the physical. And I was like, no, it was always getting physical in Japan. But that's the only place that was getting one. So if you want it, there it is. Because I'm still a physical dude. And I really want to, if I get it digitally, it'll probably be on Xbox. But, you know, if the physical version, as far as I know, it's only on PlayStation right now. It's coming there. That's where I'm going to get it. And speaking of that, just a real quick side note. Because we got a few minutes, if I want to burn them or not. I recently saw that apparently there was some sort of breakthrough brought by the Series S to Baldur's Gate 3, where they could save, I think it was like 34% VRAM overhead.
I saw the tweet about that. I don't know much about those sorts of
you're not a developer,
you know, hardware. Yeah, I'm not a dev, but it is really impressive. And you know what they say, is it limitation breeds creativity?
Well, I don't know if it was limited though. Like, that's the thing. Like, that's what I'm talking about when we talk about Twitter and like being crazy. In console, when people like console warring or plastic box loving, either one.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was always wondering, are you using the maximum tool set? And again, I'm not trying to say they weren't. This is my uneducated Pat thoughts. Gaming Times Pat thoughts. I ain't, you know, I'm not trying to go catch the developer with strays, if you will. I'm not trying to do that. Right. But I'm just saying, it made me wonder if they were. Because it seems like everybody wants to dunk on this system when there's lesser PC hardware out there, you could argue. So I was like, I don't know. But I'm just glad to see that's coming. So hopefully it's coming to Xbox sooner rather than later. And I'll be able to probably get it digitally there, because I don't know if we'll ever see an Xbox physical unless it's like a limited run or something. But I was like, yo, that was a cool story. I just want everybody to know. So hopefully, I'm just going to say optimistically early next year, we'll see it on Xbox. By that time, though, if I'm going to play it, I'll be playing it on PlayStation. I'm not going to lie. But we'll see for sure. But yeah, definitely looking forward to that. But all right, I think that's going to do it for today's show. I appreciate everybody for listening. Where can the people find you?
At Rocketman on Twitter. Rocketman is spelled with an I instead of an E.
All right, awesome. Also, if you go to my Twitter, at TimesPat on Twitter, you will see he is tagged in the previous episode. He will be tagged in this episode, so you should be able to find him there. As always, I'm Patrick. You can email the podcast at GamingTimes09@gmail.com. You can email directly at GamingTimesPatrick@gmail.com. Again, I'm at TimesPat on Twitter, spelled exactly like it sounds. And I honestly just want to thank everybody for listening with us today. And remember, enjoy gaming.